Good. We get everybody have one?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Good. Okay, good. Yeah, just put them extra there. Yeah. Okay, tonight we're going to continue our fellowship. Now, I want you to realize that it's 8:10 right now, and we are still going to stop at 8:30. So it's not like I'm going to turn up. You know how sometimes if you want to listen to something quick, you know, you turn it up 1.5, and then if you get really bold, 2.0, and it's up. Okay, I promise you, we're going to go slow tonight, okay? And whatever we don't finish, we don't finish, and we'll just continue. Actually, there's a whole other page to this outline. I didn't even want to pass it out because I knew that we would never get to it. So if we finish the front page, I'd be happy. I want you to read the title on this outline. I really love the title. Could y'all read it together? And you know which word I really like? Endeavoring. You know, we don't feel like we are, you know, those that have made it. We have a long way to go, and we're endeavoring to enter the God-ordained way through the vital groups. Some of us are more advanced than others, but that's okay. Together, we're endeavoring to enter into the God-ordained way through the vital groups. So I wanted to read something to you. This is by our brother. Brother sent us from Oklahoma City, sent this little excerpt. It's very short. Brother Lee said, if I were to bring in the new way again, I would do it more pleasantly, gradually, and carefully. And I just really appreciated that his whole burden was he really wants us to get it. Yeah. And so his whole tone is we need to have a pleasant fellowship and a gradual fellowship and a careful fellowship. So I just wanted to read that to you. I thought you'd enjoy that. And just to review just very quickly, last week, we had this point about the vital group is a blended group. You covered two things, Paul. So the first one was the God-ordained way is intrinsically, I love this, a way of life and can be carried out only by life. It's a way of life. And then he went on to a vital group is a blended group, not a collection or a meeting of individual saints. And, you know, this matter of it being a way of life, you know, sometimes, you hear that and you go, okay, you know, it's kind of like, oh, yeah, life. Yeah, I really enjoy life in the meetings. Yeah, life, 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 that makes me want to shout, hallelujah, praise the Lord, you know. But I really like, it got intensely practical with point A life of morning revival. See, that's something that can be carried out. And it's our charge to be that it can be carried out only by life. So we need a time in the morning with the Lord so that what we do is in the way of life. And then we need a life of prayer and a daily life. So I really appreciate that this is the whole foundation and basis of our labor to enter in the God-ordained way. You know, you might think, oh, I want to get here about the meetings and how to have the meetings and how to form the groups. Well, let's all start with morning revival. Okay, you want to enter into the God-ordained way? Let's start with morning revival. And then let's start with a lot of prayer during the day. And then let's have a daily life. I just appreciate it. We just can't skip over it in a quick way. We need to be intrinsically in the way of life. Our whole being needs to be in the way of life. In this message tonight, could you read Roman numeral 1 together? Ready? Go.
The three main characteristics of the vital groups.
Okay. I think that's it, right? Yeah, three main characteristics of the vital groups. And it's very interesting. If you get into the printed material in this book, The Fellowship Concerning the Urgent Need of the Vital Groups, message 7 is actually, now listen closely, I don't want you to get messed up by what I'm saying. Message 7 in this book is actually message one of the training to the church in Anaheim. Okay, so let me say that again. Message seven in this book is actually message one for the training to the church in Anaheim on the God-ordained way. And, you know, why is this important? You might say, Neil, so what? Well, I'll tell you what. The reason it's so important to see this is message one is because whenever our brother starts a new subject, he gets into the basic thought and the basic principles of that subject. And so what we're going to get into tonight is the basic thought and basic principles related to the matter of the vital groups. And basically, the three main characteristics of the vital groups are purpose, nature, and condition. Purpose, nature, and condition. And you could even say that these three words, they form a governing vision of the vital group. So you need to love these three words, purpose, nature, and vision. And sometimes a little illustration can help. So believe it or not, could you get that for me underneath there? Yeah. A brother did this for me last night. He built a three-pronged stool for milking cows. And he's not even a farmer, so we'll have Paul Bixby check it out, man, to make sure that it was done right. But, you know, it's like it's got a little part here that kind of goes up a little bit, Paul, and this one's a little shorter. And so I just want to show you this. When you put this on the ground to milk a cow, you're never going to fall off. So let's get Chris up here. Okay. Okay, Chris, we want you to sit on this right here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can I sit this, the long side?
Yeah, right. There you go. Now let's see. How are you? Are you steady there?
Oh,
you're
yeah.
Not going to go over?
I'm not going anywhere.
Okay, good. Okay, good. Thank you, brother. Yeah. So basically, the reason we wanted this is because there's three legs to the vital groups. One is purpose. Maybe you could say this is the front leg. Then you have nature, and then you have condition. And we need all three. You know, what would happen if Chris, you know, sat on this and we took one of the legs out? We'd be picking Chris off the floor. But you need to have all three legs. You have to have them all. You can't be just, you know, sometimes one of the problems is, you know, like there's Preston there and he's a purpose brother. You know, he's all for purpose and he's ready to bring people in, but he's with people and he gets, you know, matched up with a sister that's for love. Now, you know, and then there's another brother and he's for nature. And so, you know, you just think about this, what can happen here. Okay, he said, brothers, we really need to go out and preach the gospel. We really need to do this. And then this brother over here, brothers, we need to make sure the source is God. We need to take care of nature, brothers, the source. I'm not sure we should go out right away. Then we have a sister over here. Brothers, we need to have love for one another. You know, how's the world going to believe if we don't have love for one another? And we can pull out verses and we know exactly what to say and everything like that. Well, this is what I want to say to you. We need to be all three of these. We need to be people for purpose, people for nature, and people for a condition of love. And we will get into what all three of those mean. But isn't that a wonderful example? I love that example. And the fact that brother, I asked him to do it yesterday afternoon, and he did it last night, made that stool like that. And I just was so appreciative that he could make a stool like that. I've always wanted to see one like that because I've heard this message before, and I love this matter of the stool. It's a three-legged milk stool. And so anyways, you know, in A, if you could look at letter A there, could you read about what purpose is? Ready, go.
Purpose for the increase, the perfecting, and the building up of the church.
Okay, so three things. Purpose is for increase. But it doesn't stop at increase. It goes to perfecting, And then it goes to the building up of the church. So, you know, we could just be, well, we have to get increased. Yes, you do. But don't forget perfecting. And don't forget the building up of the church. This is purpose. And it's amazing, you know, if you read Acts 2, 46 and 47, so many things in here, they all kind of have accumulation effect where, you know, they start day by day. And they're continuing steadfastly with one accord in the temple. So they're in one accord. Sweet. And breaking bread from house to house. So there's house to house. And partaking of their food with what? Exaltation and simplicity of heart. So just look at the scene there. That's just one verse. I mean, there's one accord. They're in a home. There's exaltation, there's simplicity of heart, and then 47, praising God. Amen. Hallelujah, praising God. Amen. And having what? Grace with all the people. Amen. Okay, you have this scene, this situation here, and what's the result is the next sentence. So why don't we read the next sentence there, and the Lord.
And the Lord added together day by day those who are being
okay, let's do it again. Ready? Go.
And the Lord added together day by day those who are being saved.
Okay, so, you know, one of the problems that we had in carrying out the God ordained way, and it was, you know, we didn't know any better. We were just endeavoring, was many of us took the matter of the God ordained way individually. Like, I need to bear fruit on my job. I need to bear fruit in my classroom. I need to bear fruit. And this actually became the Achilles heel to the God-ordained way. Because God's purpose for that to be fulfilled, it's not an individual matter. It is absolutely a corporate matter. And if you read these verses, it smacks of corporateness.
Yeah.
You read these, it's like you don't feel or sense anything individual there. It's something very sweet and very corporate, and there's nothing, you just don't get any feeling. Can you find anything of the self there? Anything here individually? No, you can't find anything there. And this is really our destiny, is to bear fruit corporately. Okay, so first of all, this little section of the outline goes, what are the results of not having a clear view of purpose? Okay, so you have to think about this. What are the results of not having a clear view of purpose or increase? You know, number one, I think it's on your sheet, we become 12 apostles. And the result of 12 apostles is, say, I know what Chris is going to share before he even shares it with me. And then Jose Luis is ready to share, and before he shares it, Tim gets up and he shares his thing. And eventually, listen, we are so good with teaching, and we're so good knowing exactly what to say, and without the presence of new ones there, we're stale. Let me say that again. We are stale without the presence of new ones there. And so eventually, we have to be people that really are excited and are stirred up in our vitality with the presence of new ones. We had a brother here, and he said two things. Well, listen to this. His name was Brother Don. He said, a vital group works spiritually because of the life-giving spirit. So we'd all agree with that, right? It works spiritually because of the life-giving spirit. And a vital group works practically because of the presence of new ones. Just think about that. You know, you add one new one to your meeting, vitality just goes up. It's not like you're, you know, we're going to, you know, work out vitality. Well, you know, Preston, you just need to be more exercised in your meeting. You need to be, you know, more loving of your wife. You need more of this and more of that. Let me tell you, you add two new ones, Preston, you'll be up on the rooftop. Because that's what brings in vitality, is the presence of new ones. We have to. And I'm going to read something, and you'll read it with me just in a minute here. But one is we don't want staleness. We want to have the vitality. You know, it's kind of like this. It's like, you know, we have a number of full-timers here, and, you know, eventually, you know, they get married and they start having children. And so I love it when one of the full-time sisters comes in and she just has had a baby. And you should see this place. It goes crazy when they walk in. You know, and they start running up and hugging the baby and everything. What happened? What happened to the sisters? New life, right, Sophia? Newness came in, and we got vital right away. You know, and this is—it's the same way in the home meeting. You add one new one, vitality goes up. You add another new one, vitality goes up. The more new ones, the more vitality there is. So another result of not having a clear view is that we become meeting-centered versus people-centered. So we get so concerned, okay, do we have the right ministry? And is it the right length? Are we reading too much? Is it the right songs? And we're just the meeting's got to be perfect. And then we'll be able to go on. No, I'd rather have a really messed up meeting with lots of new ones. I mean, I really mean it. When things didn't go right and we didn't have enough of the ministry or we didn't use the right things, when the new ones are there, life flows. Life can just flow. Okay, so the third point, and this is the one I felt is so serious. You know, with the young people, we have like a little saying, and the saying is this: what is the meaning of life? So, brother, if the young, you're going to ask a young person, what is the meaning of life? Okay, Alex, what would you say?
Christ.
Okay, it's clear. What's the meaning of life? Christ. Okay, and they go, yeah, that's good. Then we'd ask this question: what is the meaning of the Christian life? See, and we ask the young ones, what is the meaning of the Christian life? And what is it, Alex?
Church life.
In other words, your Christian life is full of meaning once you touch the church life. Full of meaning. Why'd you get saved? What are you here for? It's just full of meaning. But then the last question we ask them is this. Listen to this last question. What is the meaning of the church life? So you just think about this for a second. What is the meaning of the church life? See, Grace, have you ever considered that? What's the meaning of the church life? I know you enjoy it. You know, Grace, she actually lived in Austin for, what, 3 or 4 years here with the Murrays? Is that right? Oh, who was that with? Your family. Yeah, right. Sorry. And but you visit the Murrays. Yeah, okay. And but the question is, what's the meaning of the church life? You ever thought about that? What's the meaning of the church life? You have to consider that. That's why I don't want to go too fast, because I really want you to get this. The meaning of the church life. What gives meaning to your church life? Of course, you know, we'd all say Christ. Yes, of course, Christ gives meaning to our church life. But I'd like to read this to you. This is number 3. We begin to lose the meaning of our church life. Barrenness is an even more subtle enemy. Some married couples are not able to have children, and this becomes a big problem to them. According to human desire, the meaning of a couple's life is to have children. Likewise, if we do not bear fruit, beget some spiritual children, there is not much meaning, look at this, to our church life. Okay, I don't want you to miss this. Don't look at the baby. Look at this, okay? Yeah. I don't want you to miss this. This is so critical right here. I'm going to say it again, okay? If we do not bear fruit, bear some spiritual children, there is not much meaning to our church life. I just want to say that again and again. We have to get that. There's not much meaning to our church life. Okay, without fruit bearing, now this is a strong word, without fruit bearing, there is no practical church life. No practical church life without fruit bearing. Then it says, suppose that we baptize 58 new ones in the next Lord's Day church meeting. all of us would be excited and joyful in the Lord. But we do not have much joy because we are barren. You might be proper, you might be constituted, you might know the ministry, but you won't have much joy if there's barrenness. Is the biggest enemy that annuls the proper church life. So, you know, these brothers came from Singapore, and actually Jose and I went there maybe about 12 years ago and enjoyed visiting with them. And so this time they came here, and we asked them, so tell us what's going on the campus. You know what they said right away? We baptized 32 this, oh, how many? 40, okay, yeah, the legend grows, okay, yeah. Okay, they baptized 40 this semester, is that right? These are happy campers.
Amen.
They're all happy campers, every one of them. Brother, are you happy?
Very happy.
Very happy. Brother, isn't it good to be old and happy? Me too, brother. Let's shake hands. It's so good to be old and happy, isn't it? 40 new ones. Brothers, that's tremendous.
Yeah.
Now, I hope they remain and they stay there, but still, that you should be excited. 40 new ones.
Amen.
Okay. So you just have to realize purpose is to gain the new ones, and then we touch the meaning of the church life, and now my time is over.
Amen.
Boy, did that go fast. So we will just continue. What day is it? The January 15th, I think, or something like that? 12. Yeah, January 12th. And is that a Lord's Day? Yeah, corporate table meeting, January 12th. So, you know, if you can, keep your sheet. If not, we'll bring more. It's no problem. I knew it was going to go by fast. So anyway, so good to be here and so good to be talking about things that give meaning to our church life.
Amen.
Chris, don't you like that?
Yes.
Meaning to our church life.
Amen.
Okay. You have some announcements, brothers? Yeah.